In front of me this morning are some flowers. And I want to explain that they, well, first of all, they indicate to us that there's a baby that's going to be dedicated today. That's always a joy and fun and exciting and blessing. But let me explain the flowers to you. You'll notice that one has a dark blue color to it. We want to offer that to the dad. It symbolizes strength, the strength of a loving servant. And that's the responsibility of the father in the home, to make sure that there is love in the home. He is a loving servant. And modeling that ultimately our security is found in Jesus Christ. The white flower, we offer that to the mom. It represents purity. The mom makes sure that everyone feels welcomed in the home, that they feel respected and they feel important and valued in the home. And she models that our security is ultimately found in Christ Jesus. And when you take a blue flower, dark blue flower, and you add a white flower to it, you get a baby boy who receives from the strength and the purity of the mom all that he needs to live this life and to know that ultimately his security, his significance is found in Jesus Christ. God created him. That means that God wanted him to exist. It means that God says it is good that you exist. God created him. That's why he has value. And he sent his only son, Jesus, to die that our sins could be forgiven, that we could know God and have eternal life. And that's why we're loved. And so we find those things in Christ. Well, today, we're going to be dedicating Jameson Micah. And he is the newest grandson. Everybody's looking up at the screen. What's up there? There he is. Wait till you see him in person. That picture doesn't do him justice. He is the newest grandson of Pastor John and Jennifer Mercurio. And so we're going to ask the Reverend Grandpa John Mercurio if he would come up at this time. There he is.
Reverend Grandpa, that's me. We also have another grandpa here today as well. Jim and Dorothy are both here today too. So today is Jameson's day, but he won't remember this day. But his mom and dad will, and the family will. And as much as it is about him, it's really, to begin with, this is what that whole idea of dedication is. It's really about the dedication of his parents presenting him to the Lord today. Their decision to do this. So there he is, born August 27th. And for those of you who have been praying for him, you know he's kept us waiting for a while. About 5 years waiting, but the wait was well worth it. And today I have the double honor because I'm dedicating the baby of my baby. So it's pretty cool. I want to tell you a very quick account here. On August 27th, 2015, the day that he was born, I say probably 2 hours before that time, before he was born, I was praying for Aaron, praying for Gary, praying for a safe birth. It was early in the morning. I was praying that God would just keep his blessing on him, watch over him. And as I'm praying these things, it's kind of like my thoughts were almost directed. And when you're praying that way and you're praying for God's direction, sometimes he actually will direct the words that you're praying. And I felt like that's what happened this morning. And I began to think of the way that God knows all of us by name and how he knew this child before this child was born by name. Before he was conceived, that he knew him by name and that he was laying out a path for his life already. And I began to pray those words as I was praying. And then I opened my Bible, and I don't know how it happens. I can't even explain it, but I will sometimes almost unconsciously open my Bible, and it opened up to Psalm 139. And specifically to verses 13 through 16. Cue that next picture. There it is. And so it's kind of blanked out there, but this is a picture of Jameson laying on that verse from Psalm 139. Let me read it to you. It's from the Message, and it reads this way. Oh, yes, you shaped me first inside. These are the words that I turn to. Oh, yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit, how I was sculptured from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life were all prepared before I ever lived one day. Eugene Peterson, the originator, the writer of that version from Message that we call, says this: the central item in the religious life isn't the knowledge, my knowledge of God, but his knowledge of me. Not my faltering search for God, but his search for me. God's aggressive search for us and his exhaustive knowledge of us have resulted in existence in which there is no place we can go where God is absent. We can take the Bible out of the hotel room, take prayer out of the schoolroom, take the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom, take his name off of coins, and he is no less present than before. We can deny, curse, and ignore him, and he is still intimately acquainted with all of our ways, still tenderly holding us in his love, still generously offering his grace. And today, Aaron and Gary are here because of that grace. Would you come and join me in the front? And grandparents, would you come and stand on both sides of them? Respectively, if you would. There we go. Side to side. Good. And Dorothy, right over here would be good. Great. This is the scary part, huh? Dedication of this type is a statement by the parents. It's a public statement signifying that they want their child to have more than a casual relationship with Jesus Christ. They want him to know him in depth. And the Bible has lots of examples, all kinds of examples of people doing that very thing. One where Jesus himself has actually brought by his parents to be dedicated in the temple. That's from Luke chapter 2. And then Jesus himself, several times, but one specific time, actually had children being brought to him, and his disciples rebuked them for doing it because they felt, come on, he's got more important things to do. And Jesus said, no, I don't. Here's how it reads in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. The people brought children to Jesus, hoping he might touch them. The disciples shooed them off. But Jesus was irate and let them know it. Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. These children are at the very center of life in the kingdom. Mark this. Unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in. Then gathering the children in his arms, he laid his hands on them, blessing them. Aaron and Gary, in presenting Jameson for dedication, you not only signify your faith in Jesus Christ, but your desire to follow him and the will of God, and for Jameson to follow him from a very early age. Now, I charge you both, as parents, to teach him the fear of the Lord and the love of the Lord, to watch over his education, but also his youthful mind, guiding him to the Bible, to God's word, to keep him from evil associations, from habits that could be harmful, and to the best of your ability to bring him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Will you endeavor to do this with God's help? Father, we just take a second again here right now to refocus. We pray, Lord, that you would do something that's calming here today, Lord, that's refreshing in here today, that's new, Lord, that you'd allow every person who is in this building to experience something new today, your presence in a fresh new way. Help us to stay out of the way today, Father, and let you do what you want to do. In your name we ask this, amen.